The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
All right. Amen. Amen. And again, happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day to my mom and all the mothers out there. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, it's Mother's Day, and my sermon today is based on two questions. So questions, you know. And that's so true. I don't think my kids have ever asked me a question without starting with, where's mom? Ever. Like, ever. In chorus, because there's four of them. Where's mom? Where's mom? Where's mom? But it's true, without praying moms, you know, and that's why moms, you know, new mommies, keep praying for those kids. Start now, because you'll never stop. You'll never stop. Keep praying. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for giving us your word and giving us your spirit to discern what you're speaking to our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit of truth that leads us into all truth. And so we are leadable people. Give us that wisdom that comes from above this day, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. So it was interesting. Like I said, in my office, I had two questions. And I answer lots of questions in my office, you know, when I'm adjusting people. It's not just about backs. In fact, it's rarely about that. But in that, the Lord kept bringing those two questions to me. And suddenly I realized that they were both connected. And so I'm going to start with the first question. And the first question that was asked to me was, and you guys may have these questions too. Usually when someone asks a question, they're not the only one, right? The first question was, what happens to a believer when they die? What happens when you die? I mean, you know, we go to heaven, right? Amen. And that's true, but the question came from some verses, and you can understand why the question would come. Let me read some of these verses. Bear with me. When I showed my wife, she says, oh, this is at least two sermons. So, and we are going to do two sermons. But let's just go to these scriptures, and you'll see how it all comes together, okay? 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to start in verse 40. Read the whole thing. It's really good. But I'm going to start in verse 40. I'm reading out of the NLT because she wouldn't let me read the Amplified. Way too wordy. I wanted to. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm starting in 40. It says, there are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind, and even the stars differ from each other in their glory. You'll get there. We're coming. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Verse 45. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Verse 48, earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we'll all be transformed. Verse 52, it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will be also transformed. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. And that's where the question came. And then it talks about, you know, being asleep in Christ. And so the question was, you know, basically, do we die and then wake up raised with our new bodies? And that concept is soul sleep. Now, listen, I'm giving you this information because I'm going to get to something you can actually use. Because here's the thing. You know, when you go to sleep at night, you wake up, you know, for kids, 8 or 9 hours pass. For me, like 3 hours, right? I'm lucky, right? But that time went by, you didn't know. So I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to argue with people. But, this is what I believe and this is what I understand. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember, we're three-part beings, right? We're spirit, soul, we are body. I have a body. When it says that our immortal, corruptible flesh will move into incorruption, we're going to get new bodies at the resurrection. Amen? We understand that. But that doesn't mean when my soul and spirit leave this tent that I'm not present with the Lord, my spirit and my soul. And I can show you in Scripture where we'll recognize people. So I believe absolutely when you die, when you leave this earth, you will be in heaven. You'll be present with the Lord. I believe that 100%, right? We don't just go to sleep, right? But I will tell you this. When Jesus comes again and takes into his own what was corruptible, meaning we all get our new bodies, right? Amen. And the reason we do that is then we have a sinless body to go with our sinless soul and sinless spirit in heaven. Does that make sense? I'm answering questions here. I'm going to get to the useful part in a minute. But this matters, okay? It matters. That was the first question. I think I answered it well. Amen. Well, I mean, it settled something that had been troubling this person, right? The next question. We understand we're saved by grace, but how do we crucify the flesh once and for all at this time, on this side of heaven? How do you do that? That's where we're going to get today. And it all comes together. You notice in those scriptures it talks about the corruptible being incorruptible, right? That transition time. The thing is, when you're born into this earth, you're born into this body, you're born into sin. And anybody who's had a little two-year-old knows that they're little sinners. Okay? So don't tell me. I mean, we're born into sin, right? We're born into sin. And the thing is... it's by grace that we're saved, and Christ saves us, right? And what does he save immediately? Our spirit, 100%. The spirit inside of me is sealed with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit, which is God, cannot live anywhere where sin resides. So does sin reside in my spirit when I'm saved? No! Praise God, that's why the Holy Spirit's there, leading me into truth. And that's why the scripture says, it says, when you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That actually answers the second question. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Easy answer. We're done. Everybody have a nice day. How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I walk in the Spirit? And it comes from, like we talked about last time, you know, when Paul says, I find myself doing the things I don't want to do, right? Well, when I'm doing the things I don't want to do, I'm walking in the flesh, I'm not walking in the Spirit, right? But I want to walk in the Spirit, Lord. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to, but I find myself not always doing that. Well, guys, you don't always do that because we're still in this flesh. I still have this tent that is stained with corruption, okay? And even my soul is at this point still my mind. There's stuff that, you know, I'm having to do things. Subdue, that's a word. You know where we're going to get that word? Let me find it here. Let's go to Galatians 5 real quick. I'm going to read 16 through 18, but then I'm going to read 24. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Meaning there's a battle going on because this the corrupted flesh that we still reside in. There's a wrestling match. And your soul man makes the decision. Your mind, will, and emotion is making the decision. I'm feeling the sin nature rising up in me. What am I going to choose? When I walk in the Spirit, I don't fulfill that lust. Well, praise God. Do I do it 100%? No. Who did it 100%? Jesus. Praise God. And that's why he was the perfect sacrifice. See, if we were able to do that 100%, we wouldn't have needed him. Oh, I need him. Badly. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus the Messiah have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with his passions, appetites, and desires. When you think about crucifies, you think, kill it. You killed it. But you know what that crucified means? You subdued it. It ain't dead. Does that make sense? Yet. Because we're still in corruption. Will we have an eternal... I almost said undead. But let's say it a different way. An eternal, everlasting body someday? Yes! That don't die. It'll never die. And it's in incorruption. It's perfected. And it'll match our perfected spirit. And we'll have a perfected mind, will, and emotions too. Praise God. That's when we know in full and we're face to face. Amen? That's what we're going for. Praise God. Are we excited?
Yes.
Amen. Really? And yet... I still have to deal with the flesh. Why? Because I'm still in the earth. I'm still in the earth. At the end of 2 Corinthians, it's in chapter 13 at verse 14. I want to. Do we have that verse? Look what it says. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ our grace? Amen. He is, right? Grace. I like that. Unmerited favor. And it says, and the love of God. Who is God? He's love. We said that, right? That's who he is. And the love of God. What else does it say? And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The communion. You know what that word means in the Greek? Joint participation. Joint participation. Joint participation. He don't do it for you. If he did, you'd be perfect. But it's joint participation. Meaning, I choose to participate. I choose to be led by the Spirit. Meaning, I sense his presence. I meditate on his word so that those things happen. It's the if then. If I let the word not depart from my head and my mouth and prosperous and all that stuff. That's a choice. That's a choice. We're always making choices, right? Don't raise your hands. How many people made a bad choice this week? Don't raise your hand. 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 Right? We're still growing. We're still maturing. What's one of my favorite verses? Count it all joy when various trials and tribulations come. For the testing of your faith produces patience. Allow the patience to have its perfect work in you that you would be mature and lacking nothing. Let patience have its work in you. If you need patience, guess what? You need it. And guess who you need it with? Yourself. You better be patient with yourself. You won't be able to give grace and love to somebody else until you give it to yourself. And that's not a selfish thing. That's a joint participation thing. That's an obedience thing. I'm just telling you. Is it easy? No. No. Because humans want to put themselves under the law all the time. Why? Because that's kind of like, well, if I can do these things and be adequate in all these things, then maybe the stuff that I know that I'm not adequate in, maybe it'll make up for it. Because we all want to put that weights and measure thing. I did more good than bad. It's a human sin nature to want to do it that way. That's why people gravitate to the law. You see, but when you're soaring above, remember that scripture last week? When you're soaring above, you're walking in the Spirit. I'm not worried about the rights and the wrongs. I'm just seeking Jesus. And he is always right. He's always right. And when I'm wrong, he's still right. Right? And he picks me up out of my flesh condition and says, keep following me. Don't stop. I'm taking you somewhere. Amen? Right. And that's what gives people... Listen, if we were perfect in all our ways, if that were even a possibility, What would lost people look at? They'd say, oh my gosh, I can't do that. But let me tell you something. When you show a lost person that I need Jesus as bad today as I did the first day I accepted him, I need him more today. Right? They look and they're, really? Could it be? Could grace really be free? Could it be? Maybe I could crucify and subdue the flesh in this one little area through joint participation with the Spirit. Who is this Holy Spirit that will lead me to truth? Who is this Jesus that will just forgive me and accept me? Who is this Jesus? Church, we show him in our lives, right? We show him in falling down and then getting back up and praising God. We show him when we admit it, quit it, and forget it. Amen? And let me tell you something. It's not something that can be done intellectually. That's why, you know, so these spiritual things are hard to understand with your mind. And I've known some really, really intelligent people, right? Do you know what's hardest for them to understand grace? I'm talking like smart people. I'm not one, praise God. It's hard for them to understand that. I mean, because it's one of those things. Well, how do you flow in the Spirit? Well, you just flow. Well, I understand that. But someone that's real organized and structural and intellectual, it's like, and God made you too. And he loves you. He made you that way on purpose to help people like me. Right? And my wife's one. Right? And so, yes, there are things that we do, and we're going to get into them more and more next week. And she's even going to preach with me. Yeah, I know. I'll keep it organized. It'll be better. But as we take apart these scriptures, we understand that, yes, we're subduing the flesh, but it's a battle that's always happening. I have to always be engaged. And it's in my mind. I'm going to go ahead a little bit where I might not should go, but we'll do it again. Let me read the whole thing. Hebrews 12. I got a few minutes. Hebrews 12, 1-3. I'm in the Amplified. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, and that kind of helps with the first question, by the way, but that's okay. It says, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance. That's a continual thing. The unnecessary weight and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. It's always trying to trip you up, guys. It's in the path because we're in a fallen world, in a corrupted body of sin that's forgiven. Praise God. It's been forgiven. And my spirit man's completely sinless, but I'm having to walk out this salvation with reverence, fear, and trembling. I'm having to work it out, right? Because I'm still in this world, right? And let us run, and I love this, with patient endurance. You know why you need patience? We talked about that, right? You know why you need endurance? Because you're subduing it all the time, right? And steady and active persistence, look at that, the appointed course of the race that is set before you. And remember, it's the race he sets. Praise God, I don't set it. He sets it. And then it gives you some instructions here. It says, looking away from all that will distract. Well, what will distract? The sin. It'll distract you. You're never going to deal with sin focused on the sin. You're going to deal with the sin in joint participation, focused on the one that can overcome the sin. Does that make sense? Joint participation, right? Looking away from all that will distract, who are we looking to? To Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief, praise God, and he is also its finisher. You ain't the one finishing it. Bringing it to maturity and perfection. He's doing it day by day. He for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And he ain't there just sitting. He's interceding for you. Now look at this, verse 3. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. It says, reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, with the stuff you're going through. Listen, as you do that, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, listen, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your mind. That's your soul. We're focused on him. We're in the word. We're praying. We're sensitive to the spirit. When the flesh that I'm subduing starts to wiggle and sneak out, the spirit gives me unction to do something about it. Maybe I pray in the spirit. Maybe I call Jim to pray for me. Maybe I read my scripture confessions. I recognize if I'm a very organized person, I have it set in my mind. Okay, I'm feeling that thing. You ever feel that thing? Icky, raise up in you. You ever feel it? You feel it, huh? Icky. Holy Spirit, you feeling this? Because I'm feeling it. What do I do? Remember, spiritual warfare is summed up in this: submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. But the thing is, we always forget to submit to God. We always go to condemnation right away. We feel the enemy, the flesh, the sin wiggling. We feel it wiggling. We're trying to subdue it. It's like grabbing a hold of a slippery fish, right? It's just wiggling around. I got to go to my spirit of truth. I got to get in joint participation. And he's always ready to participate. Always. It's up to me to seek him, submit to him. God, what do I do here? How do I settle this thing that's rising up in me? How do I overcome this in this area, this relationship, this thing, whatever it is, addiction, whatever the sin is? Because you know what sin is? Disobedience to God. Yeah. So it's man who picks the big ones and the little ones. No, disobedience to God. If he's telling me to do something and I ain't doing it, that's sin. Does that make sense? So, you know, I'm not going to pick on one sin or another sin. I'm not going to concentrate on the sin either. I'm going to concentrate on the Savior. I'm going to concentrate on the Holy Spirit inside of me, who I'm to participate with in walking out this salvation, this race. And Lord, how do I get untangled from this one? Because it keeps grabbing a hold of me. How do I untangle this thing? Because I've tried, Lord. I've tried. And Billy Bob Jack Joe told me to do it this way and that way and something, and I did every one of them. It worked for him, but it hadn't worked for me. I read every book. Didn't work for me. He's the only one that knows what to do. Right? Pastor, why you don't know? And I can go to, well, you want to not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Well, just walk in the Spirit. There you go. Solved your problem. Great. How? How? Well, I just gave you the first how. Start participating. First how. God, help me. Honestly, do you realize a question of just God, help me? That goes a long way. Do you know how far that goes to a father? What father is watching his kid struggle? And the kid says, help me, daddy. And you just say, nope, I ain't going to. You've made that mess. Live with it. No. God is love. That's what it said. He wants to help you. He wants you to turn to him and away from the flesh and the sin. He wants you to turn this way. Because he loves you so much, he gave you his son to die and his spirit. Remember, God the Son, God the Spirit, to live inside of you. It's the fullness of God that lives inside of you. The fullness. Yeah. fullness. If I have the one who knows everything about everything, the fullness of God living inside of me, saying, listen, I'm ready to participate. If he's for me, who can be against me? So now, is it possible to walk in the Spirit? Yes. Yes. Is my goal to do it all the time? Of course it is. Am I able to? Honestly, no. But so what? I'm able to more than I was. Praise God. Right? I may not be where I need to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be. I'm still a work in progress. But don't stop progressing. Don't stop progressing. That's all he ever says is don't stop. In a race, don't stop. If you've ever run a long race, if you stop, you in trouble. You in trouble. You got to keep moving. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care how much you throw up and keep going. Well, that's the way it is walking with the Lord. I don't stop. Yeah, but Monty, I messed up. Yeah, you and everybody else. Keep going. Lord, how do I not mess up as much tomorrow as I did today? You show me, Lord, because I'm really committing these things to you. Because I read that you're faithful to keep those things I commit to you. Amen? That's why knowing the word helps. Because what he does is he brings up that scripture that you can say out loud where there's power released in the heavenlies. And you can wield the word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God, right? You can wield it. There are practical things to do. And I'm going to have my wife next week. And she's going to have them all like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. No oranges and reds and squirrels. And she's really good at that. She looks at my notes to preach. She says, what are you going to say? I said, I don't know. I don't know. But I know I trust God. And I know he loves you. And he has something to say. Yeah. He has something to say. He has something to say to your heart. He has a lot. He has so much for you. And he loves you so much. And he's not displeased with you. He's not displeased with you. You haven't quit. He knows you haven't quit. Hey, the fact you're asking questions. The fact that you're in here today listening to this goofy guy that can't even speak English. You hadn't quit. Right? Listen, if it was performance-based, let me just tell you, Adam and Eve already blew it. If it was performance-based, right? You see, when it was performance-based, let's say they were under the law, God had to create a place for those that were in corruption to be when they died. Did you know that? And it wasn't heaven. Why? Because Jesus hadn't died yet. Have you ever thought about the Old Testament saints? What happens to them? They were put in a place kept by God. It's called Abraham's bosom. It's in the Bible. And they were kept there. They were waiting for the day. And when he was crucified and he was gone 3 days, you know where he was? He was there talking to them, redeeming them too, so that they could be incorruptible in their soul and spirit. And they're waiting for a body too. And we're all going to get one. But while we're in this one that isn't as good as it used to be, I move stuff now and my back hurts for days that used to not hurt. I'm just talking about the physical part. But that sin nature that we've been dealing with since we were born, that we are still subduing, and that Satan is stirring up with intensity in these last days, it is so important that we walk in the Spirit more and more every day, closer and closer every day. Because what's it all about? Relationship, people. That's what I'm trying to tell you. At the end of the day, it's relationship. Because if I'm participating, I'm submitting. And he's telling me how to resist the devil. And once I do those things, the devil will flee. Does that make sense? This is all scriptural. Am I okay? Am I answering questions kind of?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my. To shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning, I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.